that of temptation. Opportunity may knock once, but temptation bangs on your front door forever, someone said. And isn't that the truth? And someone else said, Satan gave Adam an apple and took away paradise. Therefore, in all temptations, let us consider not what he offers, but what we shall lose. So true. Now, if you come on Sunday evenings, you know that a week ago Sunday evening, we were in 2 Samuel in David's fall with Bathsheba, and Damian did an excellent message on temptation. And I was very tempted to simply just play it for us because I thought, boy, it's just so good. What can you add? But you know what? It was a whole week ago and week and 4 days. And we probably have forgotten and need to be reminded again. And yet not everyone was there. So we're going to dig in. And James chapter 1 is the place that we're going to start. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, and we'll see tonight what temptation is. We'll kind of follow the outline of the homework, what temptation is, where does it come from, things that we're tempted by, examples of what to do, what not to do. James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So what is temptation? Well, temptation is a desire or a craving for something, and especially for something forbidden, something that is considered wrong. It is a lure. It's an enticement. It is an attraction or a pull. And we know, as it just told us in the passage in James, that these temptations that we face, they do not come from God. He does not tempt us. He doesn't ever put anything in our path at all to say, ooh, I hope, let's see if she'll trip and fall, or let's see if she'll give into that. He does not tempt us. Our temptation, as we're told here, it comes from within. It comes from our own desires. It comes from that sin nature that we are all born with, and it comes from those weaknesses in our flesh, and it comes from tendencies that we have. So it's those desires that are already within us that we are can be tempted with. And whether it does come directly from the enemy, because the enemy does tempt, as we know, he tempted Jesus. Whether it comes directly from him or it is just in us, or just because we live in this world and we're around tempting things, if we are pulled toward it, then we need to be aware that that is a weakness, that's a temptation to us, and we need to learn then how to combat that, how to resist that. Now, the temptation, this is very important because a lot of Christians get very confused over this. The temptation itself is not sin. It is not sin. And I know that a lot of times when you're a brand new Christian, and the first handful of times that you're tempted with something, like you have this thought or this feeling or this, you see something and you're tempted, you just feel like you've just committed this horrible crime, this sin, and you feel guilty and everything. But the sin, the temptation itself, it is not sin, but the temptation can lead us into sin. And as Damien explained, when desire meets our will, that's when sin is born. So the temptation can be there. That's not sin. But when my will gives into the temptation, that's when conception occurs and sin is born. And you know, it can be the actual act of the sin, or it can be a sin in the heart. As Jesus taught, that if a man looks at a woman lustfully, or if a woman looks at a man lustfully, you can commit that sin in your own heart. And that's a different topic, but that's a dangerous place, because once you do that, then it's easier to do the outward. So we should not be shocked when temptations hit us, when we come up against temptations. And again, as I said, especially as a new Christian, we can be shocked. But even sometimes after you've walked with the Lord for years and years and years, maybe you've never had an issue. You've never been tempted over in this area. It's like, what would... And then all of a sudden, this temptation hits and you're like shocked. Just shocked that you would be attracted to that or want that. Or any of that. You're just shocked with yourself. Well, now if you flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm losing things out of my Bible here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will always make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. But notice that no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. Temptations are going to happen. Big ones, small ones, to each and every one of us. They're part of our life. And the enemy, of course, it's his job to tempt us, to try to get us to fall. And he's going to try all different areas until he finds the right area. So as long as we are alive, we are going to be faced with temptations. And not all temptation, of course, is sexual. I mean, we immediately kind of think that. And that is a huge one. It is a huge one for men, and it's a huge one for women. And everything is in your face today. You know, it used to be just the whole Victoria's Secret thing with all that stuff in the window for men. And then you go to these other Abercrombie and all these things you walk by in the mall, and there's the guy, you know, kind of a thing. Or you might not even thought about that. And now all of a sudden you're, you know, that's temptation. But not all of them are sexual. But because of the weakness of our flesh and those desires within us, I mean, we can be tempted in so many different areas. We can be tempted to covet. And when we're in certain places looking through certain catalogs or at the mall or whatever, we just want, we want, we want, we want. We're tempted to buy. You can be tempted to steal. Well, that might be a shocking thing. You're a Christian, but there are Christians who are tempted to steal. It may not be your issue, but it might be theirs. Or lie. You can be tempted to lie because it would be a lot in your mind safer and easier to lie than to tell the truth and get in trouble over this or that or whatever. I mean, there's just all kinds of temptations to cheat, to give in to whatever forbidden fruit is forbidden for you. And there is just so many different temptations to be angry, to say something that I shouldn't say. I mean, there's all kinds of things. There's a progression from the temptation to the sin. And this whole thing of temptation, the Lord has very clearly showed us in the Bible, through his word, through examples, how it can start with temptation and it can end with sin. The steps that one would take to sin, and then the steps that one would take to resist the temptation and to flee. Now, that first one Damian looked at the other night, we're going to look at it again, 2 Samuel chapter 11, and we won't, you know, be there long, and I won't, well, I'll repeat quite a bit, but I won't spend as much time as he did. 2 Samuel 11. Unfortunately, David gives us a very, I don't know if you want to call it good example of what not to do, of how to fall, how to give in to temptation that comes our way. Now, his, of course, was sexual, but we can use the same, we can learn from the same, from his progression to apply to any kind of temptation. It happened in the spring of the year at the time when kings go out to battle. That David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Amnon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and he walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, so she sent and told David and said, "I am with child." So the first thing we see with David is his number one mistake was he remained in Jerusalem. He wasn't doing what God had called him to do. And so to avoid temptation is to continue to do what God has called you to do. Don't take a break from that. I'm not saying don't take a vacation, but don't take a break from what God has called you to do. It's a safe place. He removed himself from a safe place. So he's actually like putting himself into a place where he can be tempted. Then it tells us in verse 2 that David saw. Now that's the temptation right there. He sees Bathsheba. Beautiful woman. He sees her. That's a temptation. That is not sin. But what David did is he started thinking. He started thinking about what he saw. Over and over in you know how it is, in his mind, as he's looking at this beautiful woman. Then he inquired. So he took another step. He continued to think. And then he took a step, an action, to find out who this woman is. Now, that is heading down that path of setting yourself up for a fall. So he saw, his mind starts thinking, and then he inquired, and then he sent, and then he took, and then he lay with her. So his desire met his will. He was very willing, and then sin. And then his sin brought forth death of an innocent man and death of an innocent child. You see the progression very clearly. He saw, he inquired, he sent, he took, and he lay. And so with any kind of temptation, if we go down that path, we're going to fall. We are going to sin. It's too hard. If we stop at the "I saw the temptation," and we stop there and go the other way, it's easier to resist the temptation. But when we see the temptation and we start thinking about it, we're inquiring about it, we're mulling it over in our minds, that's a dangerous place to be. Whether it is looking at another man or looking at a piece of chocolate cake that you shouldn't be eating. When you start thinking about it, then you're going to go with the next step. it's just going to be too hard to stop. So we need to stop at that when the temptation hits, because otherwise we set a pattern for ourselves to fall and then to fail again. Now, I read something years and years ago in an excerpt out of a book. The book was called The Saving Life of Christ. And it says, where suggestion or, you know, what I see becomes desire, desire becomes intent, and the intent becomes an act. And you see that with David. He saw, he inquired, he sent, he took, he laid. So where suggestion becomes desire, desire becomes intent, and the intent becomes an act, the act becomes a memory. And that memory is hung in a picture upon the wall of your imagination in the picture gallery of your mind. When later, in your thoughts, you wander through the picture gallery, you see the memory on the wall. And this memory itself becomes a suggestion. This suggestion becomes a desire, and this desire may become an intent. And if this intent becomes an act, you will then have hanging on the wall two memories. And the process can begin all over again with double force. That is why every time you give in to a temptation or you commit a sin by giving into that temptation, you make it easier to commit another sin. You make it very much easier on yourself to give in to that same temptation or other temptations because it's you're building a pattern. Because every time you commit a sin, every sinful memory stimulates another sinful desire, encourages sinful intent, and another sinful act, which will become yet another sinful memory until your mind is polluted. And it's so true. It's a pattern. It's a pattern. So if we learn to break that pattern, don't even enter into that pattern on the simplest little things in our lives, to discipline ourselves, to resist the temptation and the little things, and when the bigger things hit, we've set in a good pattern. But if we have built that pattern into our life, of when we see whatever this thing is, whatever this temptation is, and you know that the temptations are just so different between one person and another. Because you can give me a box of See's candy, and that's not a temptation for me at all. It can sit unopened forever. But you give me a box of donuts or cinnamon rolls, I will eat them or I will get rid of them because they're just too tempting to have there. But for you, it's the See's candy. So we all have different temptations, and, you know, we're just using a little bit of food, but it can be bigger and more dangerous things. But if we stop that pattern and when we see it, we immediately turn the other way, which we'll get into how we do that. But if we give in like David did, then we set that pattern. It's just too easy. You might as well eat another donut. They're sitting there. This is my thinking. They're sitting there. I'm going to eat them anyway. I'll just eat them all now. I won't have to worry about it tomorrow. You can do that with donuts, but you can't do that with other things. You shouldn't. It's not healthy. But it is so important for us to take the way of escape that God has given. And he did in 1 Corinthians. Remember we read, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And you have to believe that. He does not give us anything bigger than we can handle, because he's given us the power and the tools and the equipping and everything to resist the temptation. And with that temptation, he has also made a way of escape. Every temptation, there is a way of escape. What was David's? Just don't take a second look. turn around and go busy yourself with God's business. I mean, whatever it would take, he makes that way of escape. Jim Elliot said, unwillingness to accept God's way of escape from temptation frightens me. What a rebel yet resides within. And he acknowledges that it's the will. It's the will. So it's a refusal. It's our refusal of not taking the way of escape. So we can't, again, we can't blame God. We can't, the devil didn't make me do it. You know, we can't blame God. We can't blame our parents. We can't blame our husband. We can't blame the kids. We can't blame whatever it might be that we want to blame. It is the desire within us. And we chose not to take that way of escape. Now, let's move on to Joseph, who is just... We like to read about Joseph, Genesis 39, because Joseph had victory. Joseph did it right. You know, we look at David and we've been there, maybe not that particular sin, but we know how that feels, and it's just, you just feel, oh Lord, help us. But then you move over to Joseph and it's like, yes, I want to be a Joseph. I want to stand like Joseph, and we can stand like him and be victorious. Genesis 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man and was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass, after these things, that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There's no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her, to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand, fled, and ran outside. Which is pretty amazing for a young, handsome man to have a woman come on that strong. And yet he resisted the temptation. And we'll see how he did it. So the first thing is for us to learn is to avoid temptation as much as possible. You simply avoid it. You do not put yourself in the place where you are going to be tempted. David put himself in the place of temptation because he stayed home. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. So he put himself there. Joseph said he didn't even want to be with her. So he removed himself. You avoid it. If I have a weakness for donuts, I don't go buy donuts because I'm going to eat them. Or if you have that you know you're going to be tempted by going to the mall or going to Target or going wherever you go to shop, don't go there. I mean, it's pretty simple, and yet we put ourselves in the place of temptation all the time. All the time. So if we get caught up and we fall into these traps, relationships, don't put yourself in a place where you're going to fall. And sometimes we think, as women, we think, well, it's not a big deal. I can have guy friends and I can, you know, talk and text and have lunch and that. You're putting yourself in that place of temptation. And you might think, well, I've never been tempted before in that area. It doesn't matter. There's an enemy out there who wants us to fall. He wants to destroy us. So we just need to avoid it. Avoid it. There are times, of course, that you can't get all the way away. Joseph could not. He avoided it as much as possible. He was overseer of the house. He had to be in there. But he didn't. He made it a point to be away from her. But he had no control over the day that he walked in and she had dismissed everybody else in the house so that it was just her and him. I mean, he avoided it as much as possible. But sometimes that's all we can do. But why purposely put ourselves in that place? And again, you know your areas that maybe the Lord is revealing to you right now. And that he's saying, stay away, stay away, stay away. And then the second thing is refuse. You say no. Joseph refused. Verse 8, he refused. And he told her that. You say no to the temptation. Somebody said the battle is won or lost in the realm of the will. And we need to limit the temptations by keeping a pure heart so that desire isn't as strong. And again, back to David where he removed himself from that being in God's will. When we keep ourselves in God's will, and we keep ourselves in the Word, and we keep ourselves pure and holy in thought and everything, the desires aren't going to be as strong. You know, it's what you feed. If you're going to feed your inner man or you're going to feed your flesh, the more you feed your inner man, the stronger your inner man is going to be, and so the less the desires are going to be. So, I mean, and if you live up into your 90s, you're still... Check, check. There we go. Okay. I'm so technical, you know. Okay. Of course, I have no idea where I was. I can change batteries. I can't remember my last thought. That's scary. Oh, when we live holy and we live pure, then the desires, they go away. They don't go away. They diminish. They're not as strong. They will always be there. That really made me hot. I don't know why. I'm very warm right now. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So putting on the Lord, walking with him and doing his will and staying in his will. And then that's easier to say no. Because when we're saying yes to the Lord, it's easier to say no to the temptations. And we also can refuse and resist by the way that Jesus gave us an example when he was tempted by the enemy. It is written, it is written, it is written. To resist those temptations by the word of God. First thing is you bring those verses up in your mind and you realize, wow, is that contrary to the word? What this temptation wants me to do is so opposed to the word. And then we need to hide the word in our hearts and memorize that scripture so that when the temptations come, they're in the forefront of our mind. We have to put it in to bring it up. So get those. If you have, if you know your weak areas, and you know you're getting tempted in these certain areas, find those verses that will combat that, so that when the temptation comes, you can say, "No, it is written," and continue to resist. And then the next thing that we see that Joseph had already done, he didn't do it at the moment, he had already done it, and that is he had considered the consequences ahead of time. Because sin, it doesn't just involve you and that thing or that other person. It is far reaching. You need to consider it ahead of time. What is that temptation that you are faced with? If it's the whole coveting, shopping, or whatever, consider the debt. Think about that. If I get this charge card, what will that do? Then I'll have to, you know, it's just amazing that some people don't go beyond that. They don't think about tomorrow, next year, 10 years. Do I really need this thing that I'm going to be paying for 5 years or 10 years or whatever? You know, we have to think about, consider the consequences. If I eat a box of donuts, what's the consequences going to be? I don't have to tell you. You know what the consequences are going to be. Or other temptations. This is going to hurt the people that I love. I may lose the people that I love. He considered it ahead of time. He knew what would happen if he gave into this temptation. And again, it's a temptation. It means he's a young man. There's going to be a desire there. And so he had thought about it. No, that's going to ruin my life. That decision would ruin my life. So consider the consequences ahead of time, and then consider it a great wickedness against the Lord, as Joseph did. See whatever this is, if you give into it, as hurting the Lord. Think of all that he has done for you. Think about how he has blessed you, and you're going to throw it out the window? For what? For what? And it does say that sin is pleasurable for a season, but it's very short season. Too many tragedies of people falling away from the Lord, or falling into sexual temptation, and their marriages being broken because of what? A moment of the passing pleasure of sin? To great wickedness against the Lord. He had such integrity of heart and a relationship with the Lord that if I do this thing, that is great wickedness against the God I serve. And then it ruins the testimony, ruins his name. And then, if you have done all these, you've tried to avoid it as much as possible, you've continued to say, he didn't say no one time. He continued to say no because she pestered him day after day after day. He had considered the consequences. He considered it a great wickedness. And then when the time came when she grabbed him and said, "Lie with me," and tore his robe off, he ran. He ran. And that's a lot of times we just have to flee. We just have to get out of there. Doesn't matter what anybody's thinking. It doesn't matter what it's going to look like. I'm going to save myself to fall. I'm going to save the name of the Lord in this situation. I'm going to protect my family, those who I love. I am getting out of here and just fleeing. And again, Joseph had avoided, he had refused, he had done all those things, but his only way of escape that God had given at that time was run. There is always, again, always, always a way of escape. He's always given us that way of escape, and it can be simply just run. And you may be doing everything right. You may be in that place, in the Lord's will. You're serving Him. You're walking with Him. You're keeping your thoughts pure and holy. You're doing everything that you are supposed to be doing. And you keep getting hit with temptation. And you think, what am I doing wrong? You may not be doing anything wrong. Remember, it's common to man. And don't be shocked. But He will make a way of escape, even if you have to run. He has given us the power of His Holy Spirit to resist temptation and to be more than conquerors in all areas. And keeping ourselves close to the Lord and His Word, that's the safe place. That's the best place to be. Charles Brent said, "Only he who flings himself upward when the pull comes to drag him down can hope to break the force of temptation. Temptation may be an invitation to hell, but much more is it an opportunity to reach heaven. At the moment of temptation, sin and righteousness are both very near the Christian, but of the two, the latter is nearer." And a reach for heaven, reach for the Lord. And resist that temptation. James tells us, "Blessed is the man," or "blessed is the woman who endures temptation, for when she has been approved, she will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him." And Father, thank You for Your word, for the truth of Your word, and for the power of Your Holy Spirit that You have given us and You have equipped us to stand, to remain pure, to remain holy, to be able to resist temptation. I pray for myself, for each one of my sisters, that You would help us take these simple tools and to apply them to our lives. And in every time a temptation comes, Lord, that we would try as much as possible to avoid. And Lord, first thing we would do is say no. We would resist. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to fill our hearts and our minds and our memories with Your word, that we can bring out that sword and we can use that, Lord, to stand. Thank You again for the power of Your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that You would just continue that work in each one of our lives, making us more than conquerors. And thank You for Your great love for us. I pray, Father, that as my sisters go into their groups, that You would continue to speak to their hearts and use them in each other's lives to be an encourager. And I pray that You would be glorified in every conversation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.